This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. A very happy Tuesday to you. So do you ever wonder if God truly loves you? You know, you believe He loves the world, but is it personal for you? Do you believe He loves you for you? Do you believe He loves what He made in you? Well, today I'll be talking to Joanna Weaver. She's my good friend. She's written the book Lazarus Awakening, Finding Your Place in the Heart of God. I'm going to get her on in just a moment. But Tim, we've been talking about these Sabbath, summer Sabbath moments, and they've been really sweet, just taking a few minutes at the beginning of every show on Thursday to just encourage our listeners to leverage this summer season to get with God. And so you and I were talking behind the scenes about the idea of having people email ways that they're doing that, ways that they're leveraging this time and making time to get with God, to unhitch. And so maybe give some examples of what we mean.
But, you know, there are different ways, and Gary Thomas talked about this, different ways that we connect with God. And we'd like to have you tell us some different things that you do. You may be a naturalist. So, you know, how is it that you get out with nature and get alone with God and commune with Him? Or you may be someone who's more of an intellectual, and he talks about that being somebody whose mind needs to be engaged for him to connect with God. So we'd like you to tell us some of the different things that you do. What does it feel like for you to connect with God, and how do you do that?
And what does it do for you? I'd love to know that too. So Susie@faithradionet.com. Just email me and we'll read some of these on the air. It'll be fun to hear. But you know, I've said this before, but my time on the bike trails is just sacred to me. But also my time on my deck with books and devotionals and Bible commentaries, just looking out at the trees, watching the sun come through. Because, you know, 6 months in the upper Midwest is basically winter, I soak in every moment I can. I mean, there's almost nothing I want to do more than either be on the trails or be on that deck with my hubby or if my son's in town or whatever, but just being with God, being with those I love. And so what about you, Tim? What nourishes your soul in the summertime especially?
Well, there are a couple of different things. I'd love to be outside as well, and I love to be out walking my dog. You know, I like to take him and just start walking and thinking and praying as I do. And that's really good for me. I especially like to do that first thing in the morning. Because then it's a little bit cooler. Unlike you, you know, I don't like it when it's 100 degrees or 95 like it's been the last few weeks. But I enjoy doing that. The other thing I like to do is I do like to engage my mind. And so I enjoy reading and sitting and reading scripture and reading other books, devotional books or that kind of thing. But as we've talked about so many times before, I love to read fiction, and that also really replenishes my soul. And I especially like Christian fiction because I love the message.
Yeah.
I remember a book that you gave me a couple of years ago, and it was about the story of Peter. But it was a novel based on the character of Peter. But there was such truth in there, and I just really enjoyed that.
Those are the best because you're entertained by the story, you're drawn in by the story, but your soul is nourished by the biblical truth. I love those. Those are my favorite as well. But the challenge is out there for you. We're just going to kind of lovingly hold you accountable this summer to really get off the beaten path, and do something. Do a number of things to nourish your soul, and then tell us about it. So just email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. How are you leveraging this season to nourish your soul? Fall will be here soon enough. Structure, busyness, off to the rat race, and then you've got the holidays right after that. Now's the time to be still and know that He's God. So let us know what you're doing. Susie@faithradionet.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest, and we're going to get her on the show. We're going to talk about kind of that delay between your unfulfilled desire and God coming through for you. What do you do with your perspective on God during that in-between time when He seems like He missed the mark, missed the boat, missed your timeline? Is He still good? And how do you come into that place where you rest in the love of God, even though if your circumstances are kind of sending you a different message? We're going to talk about that with Joanna today. So Joanna Weaver is a best-selling author of the Bethany Trilogy, which includes Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, Having a Merry Spirit, and now this book, Lazarus Awakening, now available in paperback. She's also the author of award-winning gift book, With This Ring. Her articles have appeared in such publications as Focus on the Family, Guideposts, and Home Life. Joanna and her pastor husband, John, have 3 children, and they live in Montana. You can learn more about Joanna on the web at joannaweaverbooks.com. Joanna, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, my sweet little winter sissy.
You got that right.
Montana and Minnesota, we're kind of in the same cold belt of the world, I think.
I think so, too, but I'm quite sure you don't whine about it like I do, but that's all right.
Well, no, I whine about a lot of other things, though.
Okay. That's good. So, well, we like to start out all of our talks talking scripture, and I love the passage. As I was typing it out, your passage, it just made my heart do a double beat. But Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, and I'll read it, then I'd love for you to just speak to it, Joanna. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That has to be one of my most favorite passages. Talk to us about it.
Well, it's so jam-packed with meaning. The thing I love about the Word of God, it seems like even though you've read a verse 100 times, you can come back to it with fresh eyes when the Holy Spirit wants to speak a specific word. And as we were contemplating the releasing Lazarus in paperback edition, they said, you know, is there any bonus material that you'd be interested in writing? And I had really had this thing on my heart ever since I had written the first edition, dealing with grave clothes. According to the story, you know, it was those standing around that Jesus commanded to loose him and let him go. And so I had spent an entire chapter talking about that and how we are called as Christians to unwind each other's grave clothes. But as I continued to think about it, I just thought of those things that tend to trip us up. Those things, like Hebrew says, that hinder, and the sin that so easily entangles, and those habits and behaviors that knock us off course. And I said, you know what, I'd love to write a bonus chapter. And so that's what I've done. It's an additional chapter that groups and individuals can read right after the unwinding grave clothes for others, asking this question: what's tripping me up? What's keeping me from really moving into complete freedom? And I've really kind of shaped it around the verse that you just read.
Mm.
What are those hindrances, and what is that sin that entangles?
So, Joanna, what are some things the Lord showed you? So once the hardcover was released, you're working on this bonus material. What was some of the revelation God gave you as you worked on this bonus chapter?
Well, I know that I felt it in my own life, but it seems as a pastor's wife and you know, I've counseled a lot of different women, and I'll see them walking into some really beautiful places in victory and freedom, only to be sideswiped by the same old bait, you know, the mm-hmm. same old crap. And really just thinking, oh, Lord, if we could just have eyes to see those things that keep besetting us. There's four different things that I've kind of focused on. The first one, dealing with the King James Version of this verse, where it says, throw off the weights that hinder. And just thinking about those weights in our lives, you know, the cares of this life that the Bible tells us choke out the Word of God, even the pleasures of this life. And so it's almost like the weight are the hard things, but you can also flip side that and weights can also be the good things of life, those things that actually we assign weight to, we assign importance to. And it's interesting, as I've read through the Bible, so often in the Old Testament, God would talk about how he abhorred false weights, differing scales and differing measures, and how he was calling us to true standards. And I begin to think about those things in our lives that we assign value that God says, that just doesn't matter. And we get our eyes off of that, off of the things of God and onto the things of this world, and we find ourselves drifting off course in this race we've been called to run.
Right.
And then there's those besetting sins, you know, those things that we know we shouldn't do, and yet sometimes where there are cherished sins, the things we secretly love that we really don't want to let go of, sometimes there's those things that are truly besetting. We don't want them, we repent, and yet we find ourselves getting tripped up in the same areas over and over. And so talking about how do we get rid of those, but also the lies that we've believed. And it was really interesting. As I was working on this chapter, I received a letter from a 77-year-old woman who said, I was just reading Lazarus Awakening, and I realized the grave clothes that I've been wearing for 60 years.
Hmm.
And she began to share a story clear back as a teenager in youth group. She'd asked for a ride to a party after church, and the teenage boy made a whole bunch of excuses why it wouldn't work. And as he walked out on the porch, unbeknownst to him, she followed. And she heard him say these words, "Guess who I got rid of?"
Mm-hmm.
And those words just sunk deep like talons into her soul and began to define her. And she got married young to a man who wasn't trustworthy, who drove off one day, 2 years after they were married, never came back. She had to get a divorce on her own, and that those words were just more deeply embedded, "Guess who I got rid of?" Mm-hmm. She got saved, married a wonderful Christian man, had beautiful children, had a fairly happy life, but that lie had gripped her and had been the filter through which she had seen her life for 60 years. And it was so beautiful. She said, "I don't want to be defined by that. I don't want to believe that my dear husband died 3 years ago just so he could get away from me, or that even God wants to get rid of me. I want to be free."
Mm-hmm.
And well, I'll tell you, I think there's some women and men out there listening that they've got some lies, some words that have been spoken over them, or some false beliefs that they've internalized as truth, that have really kept God's love at arm's length. And the Lord is just calling their name. Come forth. It's time. No yeah. more grave clothes.
Hmm. Amen. Well, if you've just tuned in today, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have as our guest my precious friend, Joanna Weaver, written another great book, Lazarus Awakening. And we're really talking about the grave clothes, the lies. And you mentioned in the book, Joanna, ways that the Holy Spirit brings up these issues in your life. Because as even this woman knew, probably she was walking with a limp, had a thorn in her side, so to speak. But it takes a while for it to be brought to the surface. And I want to just talk about these four that you brought up, because when we kind of look at these, we can really notice how God is getting our attention. One was repeated themes. The next one was impressions. The other one was confirmations, and then checks. Talk about those four. Let's start with repeated themes. How God uses, how the Holy Spirit will speak to you in your life through a repeated theme.
Well, I was writing this concerning hearing God's voice, and I love the tenderness of our Lord. A friend of mine says he's like your mother. If you don't listen the first time, he'll repeat himself. And so I found that so true. You know, I'll hear a message on the radio. I'll be reading a book. I'll hear a sermon, and I'll, you know, be getting a conversation with a friend. And it's just interesting. When God's wanting to speak to me about something, often he speaks in themes. And I've learned that when I hear it twice, and especially if I hear something three times, that I need to perk up my ears and realize that this is not just an ordinary conversation, that God's wanting to get my attention. And so repeated themes is one way. Confirmations, where, you know, you kind of feel in your spirit you're supposed to do something. You sense the Lord giving direction. And again, unrelated conversation or a scripture that you're reading in your quiet time, all of a sudden there's just a confirmation, yes, this isn't just you, this is God speaking to your heart.
Mm.
And then the whole idea of checks. My mama always used to say, when in doubt, don't. And that's those times where you're on a kind of a course of action, and yet you feel something in your spirit, like something's just not right, or kind of like a reining in. And I'm really learning to listen to those times, because often God is saying, no, that's not the way I want you to go, or no, this isn't time yet. And if I'll just be tender to those checks, I found that he usually reveals why he kind of kept me from going that way down the road. But learning to tune our hearts to his voice, and to be honest, I used to get offended when I'd hear people say that they heard God speak, because I would think at the time I was a 28-year-old pastor's wife, raised in the church, loved Jesus with all my heart, but I'd never heard his voice. And to be honest, I still haven't. Not his audible voice. But we're in the spirit walk. It's not a natural walk. And so many times we're looking for the tangible when God's wanting to work in the spiritual realm, and we've got to get tuned into that. And for me, that has only been by responding in obedience as best I can that I'm able then to move, realize, 20, hindsight's 2020, and I can look back and go, oh, that was the Lord. So there's repeated themes, confirmations, checks, and then you're going to have to help me with the fourth one.
Impressions. Impressions.
That's it. Impressions. Mm-hmm. And again, those are those thoughts that, you know, seem like they're coming from yourself, but they're really way too brilliant for you.
Yeah. I have lots of those.
I know. Or it's really contrary to what your natural self wants.
That's right.
But you know that it lines up with the Word of God, and there's just this aha thing inside of you. Sometimes it's just someone coming to your heart, a name, and you stop and pray, or you even go even a step further, and you pick up the phone. You call them, and you find out that they're having a horrible day. And God, it was God bringing them to your heart, impressing your heart, and you moved and acted upon it, and you were the hand of the Lord in their lives that day.
Joanne, I'm thinking of, I think it's Mark 4:24, but it says, be careful what you hear. With the measure you hear, more will be used, or more will be given you. And you can look at that both ways. Be careful with the gossip that you are party to and you constantly listen to, because to the extent that you receive a bad report and a false witness against someone, will someone return the favor? But in the same way, to the extent that you bend your ear towards heaven and cherish this inner voice, and you know, and you do hear lots of people say, I've never heard God speak, but Jesus says, my sheep do know my voice. And I wouldn't you say that to the extent that you mind these impressions, you mind the checks, do you finally tune your ear to hear his voice?
Oh, I really believe it. I mean, to be honest, I would hear verses like that, or I would read verses that my sheep know their voice, my voice, and I would think, oh, Lord, am I really your sheep? Because I don't think I know your voice, you know, and it would cause fear. But just like in the natural, a sheep or a flock comes to know their shepherd's voice through repetition, through following the shepherd, through searching out amid the voices and finding that one shepherd that is their own. The same is true for us. It's not just a magic wand experience. And yet at the same time, I have to say, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God comes and takes residence within us. And it's the Spirit of God responding to the voice of the Spirit of Christ speaking. Mm-hmm. And so we do have a heightened understanding. We do have an extra special tuning ability that is beyond ourselves. But we have to exercise it.
Yeah, walk in it. Well, we're going to open the phone lines now. Maybe you've got a question or comment for our guest today. Otherwise, my question for you is, do you have a testimony like this woman Joanna referred to, where you realized a lie and then God brought in a truth and you were set free? We would sure love to hear. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, Susie@faithradionet.com. We're going to play an excerpt of a song called Still from Hillsongs, and it's just a great reminder that even in the storms, God is who he says he is. So just be ministered to by this short portion of the song, and we'll come back and chat more with Joanna. When that storm rages, be still and just know that he is God. Isn't that beautiful, Joanna?
You just played one of my all-time favorite songs.
Mine too. My goodness. Well, I want to talk about your subtitle because it says so much, and I think it's the desire of every believer's heart, finding your place in the heart of God. Explain what that means.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure that some people have looked at the book and the subtitle and wondered what in the world the story of Lazarus has to do with that idea of finding your place in the heart of God. But, you know, I think so many times we deal in a formula-type Christianity, mm-hmm. and we really sort of believe that if I do this and I do that, then God will love me. Or if I do this and I do that, then God will have to answer my prayer. And I'll tell you what, the story of Lazarus just shatters all of our formulas, and it really tosses out this whole idea that that they're A plus, you know, A plus B equals C all times in all places, because you have this man who, honestly, we never hear a single word out of his mouth. We don't see any acts of faith, any acts of service. He's just a man who is part of a family with two sisters that get a whole lot more press time than he does. Martha, who's the busy one and the type A-driven one, and then Mary, who appears to be the more worshipful, introspective one. We don't even meet Lazarus until Mary and Martha send word in John chapter 11, Lord, the one you love is sick. And just in that little phrase, I see two of our formulas smashed. First of all, he was loved apart from anything he did, apart from anything he said. He was accepted by the Lord and loved deeply. And yet, he was sick. And sometimes I think those things don't compute in our hearts. We're like, well, if God really loved me, then I wouldn't be walking through this problem. And, you know, you can put your own condition in the blank. Lord, the one you love is facing divorce, going through bankruptcy, suffering severe depression, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. You can put your situation, but you need to remember the first part of it. Jesus loves you. Lord, the one you love is going through this. And if we can somehow marry those two thoughts, I think we're going to find really the heart of God towards us. I think we keep expecting this world to be heaven. We keep expecting that nothing should go wrong and everything should go right, especially if you're a Christian. And yet Jesus said so clearly, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. And the good news of the gospel is not that we escape trouble, but that God comes and redeems trouble. And that's why Jesus could say, in John 11, could say, Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and yet he stayed where he was 2 more days. Again, our formulas really tremble in that kind of light. I mean, how can that be? It just doesn't measure up. And yet, if we can really, really sink our hearts into this reality of his love apart from our situation, his tenderness apart from the things we're currently going through, I believe we're going to find the strength to stand no matter what the storms bring.
You know, there really is something to be said about trusting him beyond what our reasoning says. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in him and don't lean on your own understanding, even your own reasonings. And so hard not to do when your heart is breaking and you're thinking, if God is infinite and omnipotent, why wouldn't he break through? We just have a minute before our hard break, but talk to that person who's saying, just as Mary and Martha, if you were here, if you would have moved, this wouldn't have happened. Right. What can you say to them?
Well, I was just thinking of my favorite stories in the Bible. You know, those stories where you've got these people in the middle of problems, the three Hebrew children in the middle of a fire, faced with the threat of death beforehand if they didn't bow. And they said, you know what, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And we love those kind of stories, except that when we're the main characters and when we don't know how it's going to turn out, we just have to choose to believe. And I really believe that God is looking for a people of faith more than he's looking for a people of good works and valor. And he's just looking for people who are willing to trust him no matter what, so that he can show himself mighty on their behalf. We all want a testimony, but we've got to be willing to go through the test that gets us one.
Absolutely.
And that's where it's hard.
That is where it's hard. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And we have to live there. We've got to camp there if we want to rest there, don't we?
Well, it's how he's glorified.
Yeah.
One of my favorite authors says, faith only works in the dark. If I can see how it's going to turn out, I don't need faith.
Mm.
And if God's going to really be glorified, the answer to my problem is not going to be easily discernible. It's as I cling to him, as I give him the broken pieces, as I give trust him in the middle of the storm, he brings me out the other side like gold, refined with his reflection in my life.
So, so well said. Well, our friends are quiet today. We usually have a lot of calls. I think they're sitting at the edge of their seat listening to you, Joanna. But 877-933-2484, 1-877-933-2484, Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Joanna Weaver in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a powerful show with my friend Joanna Weaver talking about her book, Lazarus Awakening, and even how you reconcile that place in between of this unfulfilled desire, a sense that God is late, but he's still faithful. We've got those calls coming in. Glad to see that. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. We've got Lisa calling from Blaine, Minnesota. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Awesome.
Good. You got a question for our guest today.
I do. Joanna, how do you go about finding those people who will unwind the grave clothes that we're wearing?
Good question.
That is a great question. You know, for me, God has positioned people at key places in my life. I think that we have to be careful who we trust with our pain at times. You know, it needs to be a godly person. So often we tend to just want someone that we can rehearse and nurse our pain with. We need someone that we can lay out the story of our life, the story of our grave clothes, but knowing that they're going to be pointing us to hope and to Jesus. And so I think that's the first thing. You know, I think that before we even start there, we've really got to get to the place where we're willing to let them go. You know, I think sometimes we get used to our grave clothes. And so I've had to really recognize that in certain areas of my life. You know, Jesus said to the man at the Pool of Siloam, do you want to be well? And there is that place. Do I really want to be free? Am I willing to let go of the things that bind me? I walked through a season of real intense hurt and pain, and though I really tried to walk in forgiveness, I had allowed bitterness to kind of come in a side door, and I'll tell you what, bitterness will entomb you faster than anything, and I got to a place where I just didn't even want to forgive. I wanted them to pay. And unfortunately, bitterness just destroys you, and so you have to really, I had to get alone with the Lord and kind of hammer out some forgiveness. That wasn't anything anyone could do for me. That was something I had to do. I had to really do business with God. And so I think, number one, am I willing to let go? And then number two, Lord, is this something that I need to do just between you and me, or is this a place in my life that I need help? And, you know, there are a lot of great Christian programs out there, Celebrate Recovery, different things when it comes to habits and hurts and hang-ups from your past that can offer help.
That's a good word. I don't just feel that when you're ready for that, God actually does supply safe people.
You know what? That's such a good point, Susie. It's so true.
And it may be an unlikely person, but mm-hmm. a God-fearing one. Well, we welcome your calls. We see Grace is quite busy now. That phone screen is lighting up. 877-933-2484. We've got Christine calling from Tallinn, Connecticut. Christine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Good. It's so good to hear your voice.
So you two know each other?
Well, sure. I can tell Jesus in her.
Oh, so that's wonderful. What's your question, Christine?
You know, actually, I just wanted to say thank you more than anything. You know, I'm 21 years old, and I'm graduating from college this year, and I've been a Christian since I was four, but this past summer, I think, you know, I had a lot of dreams and desires, especially in my academic life, and it all just sort of really fell apart this summer, and it was just like a complete failure, and I felt like that doubt and all that worry and anxiety sort of drove me into a depression. I'm only 21, and I was like, God, how could you love me if you know I don't even believe in you? But like you were talking about, like being in that dark room, it really just like I'm just searching for God's hand, and I'm holding His hand every step of the way, and you know, He's brought me out of that, and, you know, I just wanted to say thanks, really.
Mm. Oh, Christine, we would love to pray for you, if you don't mind, Christine, because I hear Jesus all over you, and it's just so like the enemy, Joanne, isn't it, to go after these young, godly girls, because there's so many young guys and girls right now who are so distracted going off and doing their own thing, and she so sincerely wants to have the mind of the Lord for her life. Can we pray for her?
I would love to. I want to just encourage you, though, my friend, that this is all part of God's process to bring you into relationship with Him and to set you free from that fear that you have to measure up and be enough. So it's okay that you're kind of walking through this. It's actually a really good thing. And, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that sometimes, Lord, you allow us to come to the end of ourselves to find out that you're everything we ever needed. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to just lead and guide. I pray, Father, for those little moments where my friend gets to glimpse your face and she feels the touch of your hand upon hers while she's walking in the dark right now and just walking by faith. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would reveal yourself in deep ways like she would have never discovered had she not walked through this time.
Yeah.
I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the intimidation of the enemy and every weapon formed against her. Lord, thank you that none of them prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And Lord, I pray for Christine too, and I thank you that this is part of her story, and one day she will stand and declare the faithfulness of God through all of it, Lord God. Thank you. You've got a plan for her life, and we ask you, Lord, to reveal it with such clarity that she can persevere through the valley of preparation. You're up to something in her life. Thank you for this beautiful girl. We bless you, Lord, and thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, sweet girl. So good to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Debbie has read your book. She's calling from Buffalo. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Doing well, honey. How are you?
I'm doing great. Joanne, I have written you a letter. I don't even know where it is. But that book is probably one of the best books I've ever read. And I have to tell you real quick that I had been praying for about 3 years. I came to a point in my life where I knew that I was not receiving the Father's love in my heart. There was something blocking it. Yeah. And I couldn't figure. I read every book that people suggested. I went to seminars, and I just had this block. And so here I get this book that Susie sent me last year. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the book, you talk about faking it for 30 days. And that's probably not the wording, but
right.
That's what I loves you.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just pretended for 30 days that the Father loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And then things started to open up. I mean, I was amazed. And I knew Jesus loved me, but the Father. And I think the lie that I believed is I was born out of wedlock. Mm. And my mom tried to abort me. And so I knew that I wasn't wanted. And my biological father had committed suicide. Mm. So there wasn't a place that I felt accepted growing up. And so after I got saved, I thought, you know, I was born out of lust and not love. And that's that thought I had in my mind. I couldn't get rid of it.
Wow.
I just couldn't get rid of it. But when I read your book, something clicked, something happened. And really, to be honest with you, I had so many revelations, I could have written a book after reading that one. I'm not kidding you.
I love it.
And I have to tell you one more. And this is so funny. God has such a good sense of humor. But you know that first sentence about the 19 inches? You know, from the head to the heart?
Yep.
I'm laying in bed, and I'm reading this part. And I just was pondering, thinking about this sentence that you had written. And in the background, the radio was playing. And he repeated the exact same sentence. I'm thinking to myself, was he reading the same book or what? And I thought, God really wants me to get this. And just from that point, I just dove into this book. And it's just all marked up. And I won't even let anybody... I can't borrow it out to anybody because it's just such a great book. I give God all the glory because God just used it.
Debbie, thank you so much. And you know what you're saying is talking about, Joanna, what you talked about is confirmations. I mean, he was confirming the word of the Lord to her, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you know, that's the great adventure of walking with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not looking for shortcuts, but trusting him in the long haul. You know, not giving up when you've been looking for the answer for 3 years, but just continually asking and seeking and keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. And that door is going to be open and you're going to find and you're going to receive. I want to just say real quick for those people out there listening who have already bought the hardcover copy of Lazarus Awakening, they can find the bonus chapter as a download on my website in the Going Deeper Book Study Help section, but also on my Facebook page, facebook.com/becominghis. I have a little place where if they will fill out a form, just kind of scroll down and find the link that describes this. If they'll fill out the form with their information and mark that they have bought the hardcover, we'll send you both a link to the download as well as I would love to put a hard copy in the mail that you can just slip into your book.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, Debbie. We've got Julie on hold calling from Minneapolis. She's got a testimony. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Julia.
Oh, hi, Julia. Sorry about that.
Quite all right. Thank you, Joanna, for telling me about the story of the teenager that suffered that rejection. And I had done a Beth Morris study about last year, and we talked about how huge rejection is in the life, especially of women.
Yeah.
And I remembered a rejection experience when I was 17. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I had gone with some friends to Sunset Boulevard. I really wasn't allowed to be out and doing that, but we were hanging around on Sunset Boulevard, and another group of kids approached, and they seemed to be, you know, really cool kids. There was a guy that was clearly the leader there, and we're all standing around in a circle, and this leader looked at me and said, "You don't fit," and I was so embarrassed, and I felt so rejected. I found out later that guy was Charles Manson.
Oh, my goodness.
And that rejection was the best thing God ever protected me with.
Wow.
Maybe
now that's a twist.
Maybe rejection experiences are to save us from something awful.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard.
Yeah.
And then you reconcile the lie that, you know, even so, I mean, God was protecting her, but whatever lie embeds in those painful places, God sets us straight. Thank you, Julia, so much. We don't have, our time's going by so fast, but Joanne, I want you to say a word about, you know, there's scripture, but this I call to mind and therefore I have hope, or I say this of the Lord. Talk about the importance of reminding our soul and even speaking out loud the truth of who God is when our circumstances and even our skin, we feel we're aching so bad in that in-between time. What we say of the Lord really matters during those times. Talk about that.
It really does. You know, I've really been thinking about this a lot. So much of our life is lived internally. You know, and so there's all these negative self-talk tapes, kind of that whole you don't fit or guess who I got rid of or whatever that lie might be or whatever, you know, one of the things I didn't get to really elaborate on, whatever that pattern is that you keep returning to, just, you know, you're making progress and then all of a sudden you just get the rug pulled out from underneath you. Those are strongholds. Those are places that the enemy wants to just keep setting you up for failure. And what I found is I need to find some scripture to stand on in those moments. First of all, I need to cry out to the Lord and ask for help. I need to confess any partnership in sin and any partnership in believing a lie and just confess that and then consent that he would come and heal me, but then also replacing it with truth. My fear, I had a real struggle with fear, and one of the scriptures that I constantly repeated was, for he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and minds. There's something so powerful about the spoken word. And, you know, for me, it's not even enough to think it. There are times when those emotions are so big and I can feel myself getting thrown off track that I need to literally declare that out loud. It's interesting in that scripture we read in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, when it talks about the sin that entangles, it's this idea of a competitor, an opposition from outside of us trying to thwart us in every direction. And understanding that we have an enemy. Mm-hmm. We have an enemy. We have our flesh that's in opposition to God, but we have an enemy that wants to get us off course, cause us to trip and fall and just lay there for the rest of our lives, never really believing that we're ever going to be able to run free. And it's all a lie, but we have got to start standing up with the power of the Lord as our help and our strength and begin declaring what we know and not just what we feel.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I mean, that has done more for me when my emotions are at their peak, mm-hmm. but I say of the Lord, he's my strength, my portion, my stronghold. You know, faith comes from hearing, and something rises up, and that enemy cannot stand it when we declare who God is. Well, we're going to take another second and play another song that's probably one of your favorites. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the wait in between. Sometimes God's waiting for us, and sometimes
yeah.
we're just waiting for him. So let's hear Make Me Glad, also by Hillsongs. Don't you just feel like praying right now, Joanna?
Oh, yes.
Love
all
that.
All that and more. Mm. All that and more.
Yes, Lord. You know, when you declare that he is the stronghold, he's our shepherd, our deliverer, our defender, he is those things. And when your own mouth declares it, then your heart knows it. It's just so powerful. Well, we don't have much time left. This has gone so fast. But let's talk just for a moment about times when God is waiting on us. Going back to your verse at the open of the show, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Sometimes our own choices throw obstacles in the way.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, I know for me, I've had patterns in my life that, I, you know, I just can so easily give into. It's kind of like repeated grooves, you know, where you just slip into those responses because it's your default mechanism. Mine tended to be, in a lot of points, self-pity, you know, if I was misunderstood or underappreciated, you know, and I'd wrap that self-pity around me like a shawl, and I would just let it tell me how misused I was. But the sad thing about those kind of responses is that shawl turns into a straitjacket.
Wow.
So quickly. And I am learning that I cannot afford to entertain self-pity. I can't afford to give in to anger. I mean, whatever your trigger points, your tripping points, whatever those responses that you just find yourself, different situations, but the same kind of response or the same root underneath the response, then that's something we need to take to the Lord. And, you know, I've listed some ideas for shedding grave clothes, and one of them is ask God to reveal those grave clothes that you need to remove. You know, sometimes we see what we think is the grave clothes. God may have some specific instruction in a completely different area. And as you obey him there, he releases you over in the place you know you need freedom as well. The other thing is find new responses before you're in those trigger situations. So for me, with the self-pity, I have just got to determine to do the opposite to what comes naturally to me. You know, not giving in, not entertaining. Don't get discouraged when the process takes a long time. I think this is so important. You know, we will have done business with the Lord in one area of our life years and years ago, and then suddenly we're faced with that same area, and the enemy wants us to believe that, oh, my goodness, what is wrong with you? You know, you said that you'd given that to the Lord, and look, you're doing it again. What I'm learning is rather than getting discouraged, just realize it is most likely not the same layer. You have dealt with that. It's just a deeper layer for deeper healing, for deeper freedom.
Amen. Beautiful.
And if you'll just let the Lord do it, he wants to get to the root of it so that it no longer has those tendrils of influence in your life. But at the same time, multiple layers may indicate an area of vulnerability. So like for me, self-pity, that's not completely gone, believe me. It comes knocking on my door quite often. And so I know I've got to post a guard there. That's going to be a spot that I'm going to have to be really vigilant that I do not entertain. And then finally, keep pressing on to Jesus. You know, as I just keep my eyes on him, as I let him illuminate what he sees, and I just agree with the diagnosis, and I say, yes, Lord, I don't want it anymore. I don't want that insecurity. I don't want that negativity. I don't want that touchiness and irritability. I don't want to be easily offended. Whatever your stuff is, I don't want to be paranoid. Giving it to the Lord and agreeing with the diagnosis so that Jesus can bring the healing. I think that's how, with Paul, we can say forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, we can press on towards the goal to win the prize for which we've been called heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we just have about 2 minutes left. I saw Sharon on the line from Plymouth, and she has a verse to share, but we only have about a minute, but I want to hear what she has to say. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to share the scripture that I use to ward off the enemy is 1 John 4:4, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world.
Great verse.
And then I just want to share, too, that I used to be so afraid of the enemy that I couldn't even say devil or Satan when I was reading scripture. I couldn't even speak his name. I was so afraid of him. And then finally, I just rebuked out loud. I said, you know, if you want to keep scaring me and feeling such fear of you, you're just proving that to me that there's a God, because I can't believe in just evil. There has to be good. So he kind of left me alone after that.
Pretty awesome. Thanks so much, Sharon. God bless you. We'll make sure you get a book. Well, with the minute we have left here, I want to just, and this really is a whole show we should actually have you back for, but addressing the whole idea of unworthiness, and that is another shawl. It's also can be a false sense of humility, but it turns into a straitjacket.
Yep.
Romans 8:16-17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. I don't think enough can be said about our standing. So take a minute and address the grave clothes of unworthiness and how that binds us up big time.
Well, I really think that one of the things that we struggle with is a slave girl mentality rather than child of God.
Mm.
You know, a child of the king, it doesn't live in fear. You know, when they do something wrong, you know, they receive the discipline of their father, but they don't worry that they're going to be kicked out of the house or lose their position. And I think it's that whole Mary and Martha syndrome. You know, if we only know God from a kitchen service relationship, then we are going to always live in fear. But if we've learned to come boldly into his throne room, into the living room, where we just kneel at his feet and get as close as we can to him, we all of a sudden, his love overwhelms us, and we understand that we are princesses and not slave girls. We are princes and not slave boys, and we can walk in the confidence of that, even when he's bringing discipline and direction to our soul.
Mm, that is awesome. Well, I'm going to just have you wrap up and pray here, Joanna. This has just been a delight and a treasure to have you with us. I'm thinking of that person who needs a fresh understanding of their standing before the Lord, that they're not a slave girl or a slave boy, but they've been brought in to the beloved, to that place in the heart of God. Would you pray for that person?
I would love to. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you did more than send your son to save our souls. You sent your son so that we could be grafted into your family. And I come against the lie of the enemy that tells us that we'll never be enough, that we could never deserve it. Now that isn't a lie in itself, because it's all true. But the lie part is that you came and you paid the price so we could have that intimacy. Forgive us for trying to add to it. Forgive us for trying to earn it and deserve it. May we just appropriate what you've already provided today and walk into that intimacy and that relationship that you long to have with us. Oh God, would you please somehow by your Spirit get the message of your love from our head and let it make that 19-inch journey down to our hearts. Because I really believe when we're rooted and established in love, Lord Jesus, we're going to be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God.
Mm.
And we're going to experience all that you came to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Joanna, such an honor to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us.
My privilege. Love you, girl.
Love you, too. The title of the book is Lazarus Awakening. I'm going to leave you with this passage from Psalm 62. My soul find rest in God. For my hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. He's my salvation and my honor depend on God, because he's my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. One thing God has spoken, and two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Really pray today's show encouraged you, and I'm telling you, this is one I want you to share. Be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send it by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Give us a few minutes, and we'll have it up on podcast. And give a gift to a friend. It doesn't cost you a thing, and it takes you about 1 second. So in a couple minutes, go to faithradionet.com and bless someone with the show. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the show. I want to thank you for Joanne. I want to thank you for her ministry, and I want to thank you for our listeners that we are in process, and you are healing us. You are doing a mighty work in us, God, and we lay hold of it. Show us the lies we're believing so we can tear those off and walk in the truth and the reality of your love. We bless your name, O God, and we thank you. I hope today's show blessed and encouraged you. You know, you can find a podcast of the show on our website at faithradionet.com. And I hope this is one you'll share. And you can do that with a click of a button. You can send it via email, Facebook, or Twitter. And while you're there at the website, take a moment to look around at all the information we have there. We've got contributors writing each week on subjects like parenting, finances, relationships. You can get great information, and you can share that as well with a click of a button. Well, I hope you'll encourage someone today with one of our podcasts or articles from the website. We put it up there for you, and it doesn't cost you a thing. I hope you'll tune in tomorrow, too, for Live the Promise at the same time. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.